This episode of the Cult and Culture Podcast is presented by Thunder Road Guitars.
Thunder Road Guitars is the Pacific Northwest's best source of premium, new, used, and vintage guitars, amplifiers, and pedals.
Online or in their Seattle and Portland shops, you'll find fantastic customer service and a terrific vibe.
Real people offering real service. Use code COLTCULTURE10 to get 10% off at www.thunderroadguitars.com.
DistroKid now also has a motherfucking app.
The DistroKid app is available for iOS and Android.
You can now get an additional 30% off if you go to distrokid.com/VIP/Colt. That's distrokid.com/VIP/Colt.
Or you can get it in the App Store.
The new gold standard of audio repair, iZotope RX11, is coming in May. In the meantime, you can buy RX10 now, on sale, and get RX11 absolutely free when it's released. Cult and Culture listeners get 10% off by using the code FRET10, FRET10. That's code FRET10 at iZotope.com, iZotope.com.
Cult and Culture with Justin Pearson.
This is Justin Pearson, and I'm with Bobby Bray, fellow locust, current member of Innards, and we are here to talk about science.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell a story about when I was at UCSD, after, you know, touring with the locust for a good portion of life, a decade there, I guess, I was taking these really cool classes, and I started to discovered the field of psychoacoustics, which is the field of, you know, how the brain perceives sound, essentially. So, and I found out that there was this guy, David Huron, who was coming to UCSD. And so I kind of like snuck into this little conference room where he was, I don't know if he was like applying for a job at UCSD, but he has these crazy theories, and he basically justified the music that we've been creating for like over a decade. It blew my mind. And basically he was talking about how music can elicit goosebumps. Frisson is like the actual term. And so he started running down this list of things that, you know, he'd studied and citing all these other researchers. And it turned out it was like everything that we did. And so one of the things is screaming. He was like, yeah, like screaming, somehow it elicits like this evolutionary reaction. And apparently, so what happens is screaming, the actual frequency of screaming is within 3,000 and 4,000 hertz, like certain frequency. And so there's this thing, the Fletcher-Munson curve, which describes the you know, how we hear as humans, like the sort of frequencies that we're more sensitive to than others. And so that range is actually the most sensitive frequency. And it kind of makes sense, you know, if there's like a bear that's killing someone, you might need to hear that scream and be like, oh shit, humans are dying, I better go the other way or help that person or, you know, whatever. So, and it has this thing where it elicits goosebumps. So people, you know, hair on the back of their necks stand up, and it's like this really thing. It's just this crazy thing. And like people like really enjoy this. People seek this out. And so that was one of the things. And he's like, sheer, like, loudness. So, like, extremely, you know, loud music. So, okay, yeah, that's what we do. And then, like, really rapid and unexpected rhythm changes. And just, like, changes. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, everything he's saying. I'm like, that's what we've, like, completely tried to do our entire lives. Oh, my gosh. And so the thing with this is, like, when there's unexpected changes, it's a very pleasurable thing, apparently, because it's kind of like, so the example he used was, like, a surprise party. If you have a surprise party, so you're kind of going to some dark room, and then, like, you know, 30 people scream at you, like, ah, surprise, ah! And so it freaks you out, and you're like, oh, my God, fight or flight, I'm going to die, ah! And you're like, oh, no, it's, like, 30 of my friends. This is great. What a great contrast. Not only am I not going to die, but all my friends are here, and they're, like, all happy to see me. And so that emotional contrast has this way of making someone feel really good, like even better than you would have if you just saw your 30 friends. So musically, it's the same thing is happening. It's like you don't know what's going to happen. Like crazy change happens. Like, oh, my God, what happened? Oh, that was a great change. And so, and it's, I mean, and it's certainly not just, you know, the music we've created. But, I mean, there's certainly a lot of people, I think, that sort of follow these rules without knowing it. It's just, it's fun now to look back and go, oh, yeah, the science has caught up to what subgenres of music have been doing for a while. And he even like mentions screamo. He's like, there's even this genre called screamo. And it's like, you know, kind of like a cringeworthy thing because like we hate the term
horrible
screamo.
Term.
Yeah. But it's like, I knew what he was talking about. So like, afterwards, I was like, oh my God, David Huron, you totally like validated 15 years of my life, sure. or 10 years of my life. And he's like, oh, that's great, yeah.
But it's also like ahead of the curve because we would always hear like, what are you doing? Like, play those parts longer. Or you have all this stuff just crammed together and no one really understood it artistically. So maybe it takes a while for humans to catch up.
Yeah, I mean, and certainly like I've, you know, we've probably experienced this from listening to other music, you know, like all kinds of different music elicit this. And I remember people coming up to us after shows like, oh my gosh, when you guys were playing, I totally got chills. And I was like, really? You got chills? And I was now I think about it, like, oh yeah, like different people are singing, like one moment Gabe's singing, then you, then me. It's like, you know, it's like you can't really tell what's going to happen. And so it's interesting, I think, you know, what I think is interesting is that musicians, certainly like current artists and people now, we have all these resources, we have all this literature, we have all this science to refer to. And so in terms of composition, you can look at these things and you can apply these things, you know, not necessarily in a scientific way, but you can say, oh, I know this is what we know. As a species, we've figured this out. So now I'm going to implement this idea from psychoacoustics into my crazy hardcore band or whatever. And I think there should be more of that. There's no reason for it. There should be more collaborations between science and punk or hardcore or, you know, subgenres of
the
music.
Ethics of punk and hardcore in science.
Yeah, like the sort of like thought process. Yeah, and I think that's another thing. Science, generally speaking, is this sort of like really rigid thing. In fact, there's this guy Rupert Sheldrake. He's like this. He was like Cambridge, like head of biology department for a while, I believe. And he has this great book, The Science Delusion, which is all about how materialists are really like ruining science because it's so rigid, it's so close-minded, and it's like involves human beings that are like trying to build credibility, and it makes it really hard for people to study weirder stuff. So one of the things like Rupert Sheldrake studies is like the sense of being stared at, and he has statistical data showing that it's beyond randomness, and he's well-credentialed, yet people think he's crazy. It's like, what the heck? He has a PhD. He's like head of the biology department at Cambridge, you know. Like,
I mean, even if you equate that with art too, I mean, you look at artists that do something that's considered absurd, they're insane, and if you don't understand it, you just kind of write it off as like garbage or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I think there's an evolutionary need for people to sort of go against the grain. I think that like for, you know, maybe people like us or whatever, people in bands and artists, it's like comes natural, but it's like there's like a need for that to happen for the evolution of the consciousness of our species. Like we need to have those people on the end of the bell curve to really like push the boundaries to like take us to the next paradigm so we can progress. Otherwise we stagnate as a culture or as a species even.
I completely agree.
That was Cult and Culture with Justin Pearson.